it's causing them a pretty big headache, and it's causing quite a debate about how to best engage with readers. This is something, engagement, it's kind of the industry buzzword right now, something that a lot of local newsrooms are grappling with. You know, in the old days when profit margins were high, when newspapers were doing well, it seemed fine to just publish a newspaper, accept some letters to the editor, and believe that people just read the paper, subscribed, and bought advertising. Well, the bottom fell out of the business model several years ago. We're in a great deal of turmoil in the local news industry, and there's a movement to be more than just a newspaper. It's to actually physically engage with the audience, and there's a lot of debate and commentary of what engagement means, comment sections, and how they appear in news stories, how they work, how they engage the audience is just one part of that engagement atmosphere, and that's what I focused on in that piece.
Well, you talk about what happened recently in South Carolina, where the Charleston Post and Courier, for the first time, I think, in their history, shut down the comment section on a breaking news story about a local shooting. Why did they do that? What was happening with the online comment section?
What happened in that incident is the paper got a link on the Drudge Report, which is a very popular kind of right-wing website that's been around since the 90s. And people call it the Drudge bump. If your news website doesn't have a really great server and you get a link on Drudge, it can just overwhelm and shut down your site because of how much traffic people. It can be good because it drives traffic, but it drives a certain audience. It drives people from outside the local market who engage with the story. And in this case, in South Carolina, it just led to devolved into a vile swamp. The comments were just really strange and bizarre and just really negative. And to the point where, you know, it got so bad that the editor said, we're just turning it off. And he told me, that's editor Mitch Pugh at the Post and Courier, told me that it was the first time he can recall, and he's been there for several years at the Post and Courier, that they had to do it. And that led to a debate again about how local news providers online are dealing with comments and different ways to keep those comments civil instead of spiraling out of control and turning into, you know, what we call a cesspool.
Well, local papers here in Colorado have been dealing with this. And in fact, the Boulder Daily Camera cut off its comments for its online edition last year. And then the Denver Post recently as well. What are you hearing from both of those publications about the resources that went into maintaining the comment section and what it means to maintain that? What responsibility does the newspaper have to patrol what is being said in there?
So that's really up to the newspapers. Some of them have a more laissez-faire attitude, let it go, don't spend the time and the resources to police them. Others believe that moderating and policing the comments are worth up to 20 hours a week. The Denver Post did not kill off its comments. The Boulder Daily Camera did a year ago because, as a smaller newspaper owned by the same company, which is Digital First Media, they just didn't have the resources to spend the staff hours moderating the comments and keeping them civil. The Denver Post does, frankly, have those resources, I think. They have a handful of digital editors who do that. They were spending up to 20 man hours a week monitoring their comment section until a few months ago when they experimented with this product called Civil Comments, which is a tech startup that is like a self-moderating system. And it's actually pretty interesting to comment now on the Denver Post under Civil Comments. A commenter has to rate 3 previous comments for civility and then rate their own comment for civility while other commenters are also rating their comment. And so it kind of creates this self-moderation, and it has some artificial intelligence built in and some machine learning that kind of collects or pools data, I should say, of frequent commenters, and then it starts to kind of do it on its own. So it takes the moderation away from the physical human beings sitting at the desks in the Denver Post office and turns it over to artificial intelligence and algorithms. And the Denver Post instituted that in late May, and Dan Petty, who's a digital audience engagement editor at Digital First Media, he told me that it has been, quote, transformative for the Post. And an online editor there told me that it basically has saved them. They used to spend 20 hours a week, and now they spend just maybe a few.
There are other tools out there, I suppose, for maybe smaller newsrooms that might not have the resources for that. And you mentioned another tech startup that could also help with this, or not so much help moderate the comments, but also look at how newspapers could engage the public maybe in a slightly different way. Talk a little bit about the Coral Project.
Right. So I should say that civil comments cost money. I'm not sure how much. It's kind of on, I think, a sliding scale that deals with that. They charge a certain amount depending on the volume of comments. The Boulder Daily Camera is owned by the same company as the Denver Post. Doesn't use it because they can't, I just frankly think they don't have the resources to pay for it. We'll see how, if it works very well for the Denver Post, whether Digital First, expands it to some of its smaller newspapers. A free program or project is called the Coral Project. It's a Mozilla Foundation project. It's working with the New York Times and the Washington Post with a grant from the Knight Foundation. And their mission is to bring journalists and communities they serve closer together. It goes back to what I was saying about this engagement thing. And they have three or four different focus areas where they think about research and collaborate with newsrooms on what engagement means for what particular news site. One of those focuses is on comment sections, and they have a project called Talk, which is used by some newspapers. I don't think any yet here in Colorado. But if a newspaper is interested in that, that is one free resource, and it's called the Coral Project.
In terms of what the comments have typically meant, though, for further public engagement and how readers can push the story into different directions. I mean, if you have people who are respectful and not the trolls that we often hear about that are posting, vile comments, it really can bring up other aspects of the story that wasn't necessarily covered by the journalist. So ultimately, it seems a shame if we don't have that access for readers to weigh in on stories.
Yeah, I agree. Comments certainly can. So we've been talking about how awful they can be. But you're right. Comments can really serve as a positive force for journalism, and that obviously, they are often used to correct errors in reports very quickly, to point them out, to offer different story angles, to offer different perspectives than perhaps the reader who just read that story saw in the piece, or to the journalist himself. One thing I want to say is that comments, we might these days be thinking about the hassle and headaches they've caused and for online outlets. And we might assume that it's a problem caused by the internet. But if you think back to the first newspapers that existed here in this country, some of them left blank pages at the end of their newspapers so readers could write notes on them before they passed them along to their friends. The first newspaper in America, Public Occurrences, reserved one blank page in its first and only edition in 1690 for comments. So they're not new. It's just, they're online now.
Well, Corey, all of this, of course, is separate from social media because there is still the opportunity for people to share online stories, even from newspapers that don't have an official comment section. And so we're still seeing a lot of that engagement happening on social media. And of course, so much news now is being disseminated through social media. That's where a lot of people, particularly young people, are getting their information from.
That's right. And you'll see Facebook, for instance, allows commenting on online news sites. So that was years ago kind of seen. Newspapers maybe a couple of years ago would just allow comments. They had their own kind of proprietary comment box section under their stories where it was maybe moderated by an editor or maybe not. And then some of them, once the comments kind of got so bad, they said, okay, we're going over to the Facebook model because it cut down on anonymity. And, this was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, some news outlets thought, well, maybe this is going to solve our problem if people can't be anonymous. then they won't be so awful. That's kind of just not been the case. That was no silver bullet at all. The newspaper commenting sites that use Facebook now are seen by, I think, kind of more folks who think, you know, just more about this space as kind of an older idea. And that's why some of these kind of new initiatives are kind of coming into, once again, trying to solve this problem.
Well, Corey Hutchins writes about this issue of comments in online news platforms in the Columbia Journalism Review, and it's also at the ColoradoIndependent.com website. We link to both of them at news.kgnu.org. Corey, thanks very much.
Thank you so much.